be turning to 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy. We're going to be going to 2 Timothy. The title of my sermon today is Stay the Course and Keep the Faith. Stay the Course and Keep the Faith. I was going to start in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, and I realized that I wanted, as I read that and I was reading about Paul's life and how he was coming to the end of his life, and he was wanting to impart to Timothy all the most valuable lessons that he learned and the important teachings that he wanted to impart to Timothy. I realized you just couldn't hit the end of it. You had to go to the beginning of it. And so I want to read to you about, we want to talk about staying the course and keeping the faith. Our nation truly is in a place of great difficulty. These are difficult times. Everybody's wanting them to pass, but they, I feel, are just the birth pains of change, of things that are impending, of things that are to come. You see, when something's out of joint, it takes a while. It takes a painful situation to put it back into joint. Sometimes to remove cancer, you have to cut, and you have to go deep, and you have to go through other things to get to where the healing begins to take place. And we're in difficult times in America, and the trial of our faith, the testing of it, was meant to purify it and to cause it to grow stronger. It's not so much, though God is judging evil and he is dealing with the nation because of the sins that it has committed against God and man, and he is judging it. I don't care what anybody says. God is a judge. He is the righteous judge. He is a God of justice and righteousness. The Bible says that justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne, that when his judgments are in the earth, the people learn righteousness. And as we were gathering even this morning, and Abby was talking about the book of Jeremiah and how it's so similar to the days that we're in, and in these days, she said it's like reading our history all over again. That's because America made a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. When it stuck that cross into the ground and made a Mayflower compact that said, we are going to serve you as a people. We're going to be the salt and the light. We're going to send the gospel around the world. When you make a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, he will keep his end of the covenant. But what happens often is the people don't keep their part. They don't keep their promises. We sang about promises. It says, God of Abraham, the God of faithful covenant promises. You keep your promises, but we often do not keep ours. And whenever Israel would sin and they would go in an opposite direction of what they were called to be and how that they were to be the salt and the light and how that they were to worship God and to love him alone. And whenever they would begin to stray and go after idols, and whenever they would begin to offer their children to Molech, and whenever they would begin to do the evil things that we are doing as a nation, please don't be blinded in your need and desire to be relieved of the pandemic and all the trouble and all the suffering that you're seeing around you, in your desire to get rid of all of that stuff in your life and to get it out of your thoughts and out of your mind. Please don't rush it, because I'm telling you this, it is here for purpose. It is here for purpose. Because here's what we want to do. We want to get out of it quickly and then go back. Israel would often repent, but then they would go back into their sins and they would go deeper and deeper. We don't want to just get out. We want to be transformed. We want a reformation. We want that for our children and our children's children. And let me tell you, when you've went this deep into sin, it's going to take a little time. God is going to systematically bring us to a place where, as his people, we confront the sin of our life and we deal with it. He's going to bring us to a place where we're not skirting around his truths and no longer taking truths of the word and then mixing it with our views and our thoughts and our opinions, thereby twisting it and making it inoperative and inactive. The nation's in trouble, and many people right now are in lots of difficulty and they're in suffering. he desires to do a greater work in the church, a greater level of spiritual renewal in our own hearts and in our own lives. He desires to save the nation and to purify it again so that it will be a vessel that God can use to return it back to its original intent and the purposes to which he allowed it to be created. And so now we're dealing with situations most of us have never faced before. I've never been in a pandemic before. Many have become discouraged and depressed, fearful and worried and troubled. And that has caused an increase in our nation of suicide, of drug abuse, depression, of hopelessness, and many other concerns too numerous for me to mention this morning. There's lots that's happening in our nation. But I love the scriptures because God did not hide anything in them from us. He didn't hide anything in them. He revealed. He revealed even the sins of his own people and the sins of his servants when they failed. He confronted them and dealt with them. He's a good father, right? If you've had a good father in your life, if you've had a good father, I say that because not all of us have had good fathers, but if you've had a good father or a good mother, then you know what it's like to have love and discipline at the same time and for it to produce good in your own life. The Bible says that discipline for the moment doesn't feel good, but in the end, it produces a righteousness. It produces a safety net so that if you go off and start to stray, the righteousness that is in you that was brought forth by discipline and confrontation from the Lord brings you back and saves you from the destruction that would have taken your life. And so here we are in this place this morning. He loves us. And he's willing to allow certain things to happen in the nation in order to bring his people back and to call the nation back into its original purpose. Everything, the Bible says, that was written in the past, it was written to teach us so that through endurance, taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope, Romans 15 and 4. And hope is essential right now. It is absolutely essential. And where is hope found? Only in Christ. Only in Christ. It's not in fancy preaching and teaching. It's not in the doctrines of men. It is found in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I were to tell you anything that is significant and valuable today, I would say this: grab hold of the Holy Spirit of God and walk in it, because that will be your saving grace. It is the Spirit of God. It is the resurrection power of Jesus when he came out of that tomb and he lives, that lives in us. And that is our life. And when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, oh, I know they've thrown the Holy Spirit out of the church. They've got rid of the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit. They want to tell you how to live in practical application without the Spirit's power. But I tell you this, it cannot be done. Victory is in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in the glory of God. He said, I will not leave you here as orphans. I will come and live in you. And if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you think that by your reasoning and by the intellect of your own mind that you're going to be able to get and navigate through the difficulties that are coming upon this nation in the intelligence of your own being, you are fooling yourself. Strength is found in intimacy with God. That's why I'm always, come deeper, come deeper. Let's go closer. Let's get closer to him. In him is the saving grace that we need. In the secret place of the Most High, that's where we remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. But if you watch CNN, and if you listen to all the things on the radio, and if you listen to all the things that are going out there, and if you constantly allow your mind to be bombarded by that, but you're not spending any time with God, and you're not reading his word, and you're not gaining understanding of his character and his nature, and if you're not covered in Christ and living in Christ and breathing in Christ, you will faint in the day of adversity. And we are here. We are here. I tell you, we are here. These are times when we must walk in the Spirit of God and live in it. Live in it. I want to read you a little bit about Paul's encouragement to Timothy in the hopes that it will encourage you and prepare you for days ahead. The Bible has example after example of men and women who refused to give up their faith. They stayed with God until their dying breath. They stayed with Him. They knew that He was life, and that beyond this world, there is an eternal life. We don't talk about it anymore, but as soon as a sinner dies, he refused Jesus Christ, he goes into hell. That's the reality. That's how serious it is this morning. I'm not going to make you just feel comfortable and let people go to hell. Your decisions are impacting your life for all eternity. The Bible is filled with people that served God with their final breaths until the end. They were eaten and mauled by lions. They were put in dens. They were hidden in caves. They were sawn in two. They were slain and beheaded. These people loved God like nothing I've ever seen. They loved Him. He was their whole life. And Paul was one of those people. Now he's got a Timothy that's a little timid. And he's wanting to impart to him, as I'm wanting to impart to you, the importance of serving Jesus, because it has eternal implications. Because we want to see Him. That's our hope in Christ. That if we who are believers die, we do not have the same fate as the world. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. That is why we don't fear death. Not afraid of it. It has no power over us, because as soon as we close our eyes here, we see the face of God. We see the face of God. Paul held on to his faith with every breath that he had left. And in 2 Timothy, we see this aging apostle Paul coming down to his last days on the earth. He wants to ensure that the young Timothy will continue to preach the gospel and continue to proclaim the message of Christ in the midst of great opposition and hardship. So with pen in hand, he writes from that cold and smelly Roman prison his final writings. His words are laced with pleadings, a seriousness, and a deep desire for Timothy to grasp the importance of every written word he is giving him. His hair is thinning. His body is scarred. The aged apostle is entering into his final days on the earth, and he knows it. The chains remind him of the words of the Lord that were spoken to Ananias when he told Saul on that road to Damascus that he would be a chosen instrument to take the message of Christ to the Gentiles and to kings and to the people of Israel. On that day he said, "And I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake." And indeed, Paul was acquainted with sufferings for the sake of Christ. I want you to listen to just a few things that Paul had to endure. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, he said this, "I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but they are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry, and I have been thirsty, and I have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothes to keep me warm. Then, besides all of this, I have the daily burden of my own concerns for the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. And now, as he reflects on his life, as he reflects on all the things that he has been through and all the things that he's endured and all the things that he has went through so that the gospel can be preached, he's thinking of these things in this prison. And the wind of winter is blowing cold upon his face, and he smells the stench of death in his nostrils. His spirit, the spirit, affirms his thoughts that time is running out. And it will for all people. As if driven by this awareness, he writes to Timothy. That's the heart of Paul as he writes these letters to Timothy. This is all I got to tell you. This is all I have to give you. His words are full of wisdom and urgency, warning and instruction. It's like the last words on a dying bed. If I were to impart to my daughters and my sons, I would weep and say, serve him. Serve him. Take everything I've taught you that's of God and live it. Learn about him. Never deviate from the course of life. Don't go in your own direction. There's consequence. Teach your children the ways of God, please. That's all I have to give you. I give you Christ. That is what I give you. He will soon hear the sounds of a Roman soldier coming down to get him. The order has been passed down by Nero. Paul must die. Because he was a Roman citizen, the form of judgment will be the same as John the Baptist's beheading. I can see the age apostle, as they call his name, with all the charges against him. He comes out. He silences his thoughts. His eyes are that of another world. He walks with a limp, his body feeble and scarred, his spirit strong. And he lays his head down on that block, and with a thud, the dream of every true believer. I
fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. They couldn't take it out of my spirit. You can destroy the body. You can whip it and beat it and mutilate it. And many martyrs for the sake of Jesus have been done so. But you will never take Christ out of me. I've kept the faith. These emotions and feelings and desires from Paul in this late hour is what he wanted to impart to Timothy. You can sense the urgency. Picture yourself there. And what would you say to your family, to people who know you? So with that in thought, let us go to 2 Timothy. And let's begin to read here. I'm going to read the first chapter and then we're going to go deeper into it. Paul, an apostle, a special messenger of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, favor, and spiritual blessings and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I worship with a pure conscience in the spirit of my fathers, when without ceasing I remember you night and day in my prayers. And when I recall your tears, I yearn to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power and wisdom and goodness, a faith that was first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am fully persuaded it dwells in you also. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the ember, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of hands with those elders at your ordination. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of a cowardice spirit, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake. But with me, take your share of the suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you to. Take your share of it in the power of God. For it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself holy and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration. He did it not because of anything of merit that we have done, but because of and to further his own purpose and grace, which was given in us. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death, to light through the gospel. For the proclaiming of this gospel, I was appointed and herald, a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And this is why I am suffering as I do. Still, I am not ashamed, for I know and have knowledge, and I am acquainted with him. Did you hear that? I am acquainted with him whom I have believed. And I am positive, persuaded that he is able to guard and to keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching which you have heard from me in all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus. Guard and keep with greatest care the precious and excellent adapted truth which has been entrusted to you by the help of the Holy Spirit who makes his home in us. You already know that all who are in Asia turned away and forsook me. Philegelus and Hermogenes amongst them. May the Lord grant his mercy to the family of Onesiphorus, for he often showed me kindness and ministered to my needs, comforting and reviving and bracing me like fresh air. He was not ashamed of my chains and imprisonment for Christ's sake. No. Rather, when he reached Rome, he searched diligently and earnestly for me and found me. May the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord on that great day. And you know how many things he did for me and what a help he was at Ephesus. You know better than I can even tell you. There are so many important things that Paul is getting ready to deposit into Timothy. Important lessons that we need to know. Important things that we need to hear this age apostle, because they are the very things that we need to hear today. We are facing the same situations in this nation that other nations have faced. We need to hear the sound counsel of the apostle to us today. So the very first thing that he does is he opens up and he begins to give glory and praise to God the Father and to Christ Jesus the Lord. He begins to worship him and thank God and praise him. And that's how our lives should be lived, no matter what situations we face on a daily basis. Everyone here has went through difficulty. And every person here can testify that God has brought them through it and will continue to do so. That is why we worship him. That's why we take extra time to get in his presence and say, thank you. You've been good to me. He didn't say, you would never face adversity. He never said that it would be easy. He never promised you that life would be full of nothing but flowers and candy and roses. No, he said, in this life you shall have tribulations, but cheer up, because I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. You say, well, how does that work when all of the apostles except John were martyred? He was with them. Do not count that light. He is with us and lives in us by his Spirit. Praising God is the foundation of our faith.
acknowledging him as our God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. He's bringing him back to this place of thanking God and remembering God. And then he goes right into there to calling up memories of his legacy of faith, an inheritance that was deposited in him by his grandmother and his mother. You better be thankful for your grandma. You better be thankful for your mama that imparted life to you. You say, well, my mother wasn't a very good... You're here because somebody bore you. And for all of the leaders and the people through time, just think of all the people that invested in you the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, some of them didn't do a very good job, and you learned. You learn the difference between true apostles and false because of it. Those who were sincere and those who lacked sincerity. You learned about those who lied and deceived and wanted money and greed. They were greedy for gain, but they didn't care about preaching the truth. You learned through the good and the bad. You watched your mother and your grandmother go through hard times and difficult times. I talk about it often here because it's my inheritance. My mother imparted to me, thank God, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and lived it. My grandmother showed me what it was like to serve the Lord. I would hear her speaking in tongues as she went through difficult things, praying to God and asking him for help. They went through dark times and difficult times. Paul says, don't forget those who put in you the gospel. I know it's in there because I know their life. They imparted to you a spiritual inheritance. Be thankful. They gave you a godly inheritance. Be thankful. Because only people who love you will teach you that. They will give you the truth when it's hard to hear. They will love you and wrap their arms around you in the darkest times of life. They will stand by you when you're standing at the casket. They'll be with you through the seasons of joy and weddings and celebrations, but they will hold you to the highest standard, which is Christ himself. That's why we don't compare our walk with anybody else. The standard height is Jesus. That's what we try to surrender ourselves to the Spirit to, so that the Spirit can live in us, because that can only be attained through the Spirit. He said, don't forget, I know these women. I know them, that they imparted to you the faith. They gave you in an inheritance. They taught you the truth of Christ. And then, because he's trying to stir up Timothy's faith in difficult times, Timothy would later face very difficult times, persecutions, because they lived in a culture where there were goddesses that were worshipped. Let me tell you what happened to Timothy and the importance of a foundation of faith in Jesus. Timothy would later be murdered at the age of 80. He continued on in the faith of Jesus Christ. He took what Paul taught him, what his mother taught him, what his grandmother taught him, what he learned, what Jesus imparted to him through the scriptures and the truth of the gospel. And then in a procession in Ephesus, when they were honoring the goddess of Diana, he began to preach the gospel in the street. And they grabbed him, the mob, and drug him through the street at 80 years old. And they beat him. And they stoned him to death. Don't discount the inheritance of faith that God has put in you, but nurture it, fan the flame. And that's exactly what he says is the next line. He says, that is why I would remind you to stir up, to rekindle the embers, to fan the flame, and to keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of laying on of hands at your ordination. We laid hands on you. Your grandmother laid hands on you. Your mama's laid hands on you. You've had people lay hands on you in the church. You've had people pray over you in the Spirit and prophesy over you. And you've had people declare and decree the truth to you. Maybe it was a sister, maybe it was a brother, maybe it was a family member, maybe it was a preacher. The inheritance of Christ, it's been imparted to you. The teachings of Jesus have been imparted to you. But as seasons come and seasons go, you have to remind yourself in those dark days and difficult days and weary days, and as the things that we're facing all around us, you've got to fan that flame. Stir up the Holy Spirit. How long has it been since you spoke in the Spirit? How long has it been since you spent time in presence of the Almighty God until the little ember became a flame and you could no longer ignore the things that God had been pressing on your heart or the impartation of knowledge that He wanted to give you? It's only in intimacy that that is done. Fan the flame. Keep it burning. In the darkest of times, under the greatest of difficulty, it will be the Spirit of God inside of you that keeps you going. And it was the Spirit of God and the teachings that he had learned and the intimate time with Christ that when the time came at 80 years old, he was still preaching the gospel in the midst of a society that didn't want to hear it. And they will love you or hate you. But you'll know. Because of the fire of God burning inside of Timothy, he could face it. That's why Paul is saying, fan that flame. Stir up the Holy Spirit and the gifts inside of you, the inner fire. There are the gifts that have been neglected in the church. The spiritual gifts have been neglected. The fruits of the Holy Spirit have been stifled. We haven't cooperated with the Spirit to see them developed. And we have a lack of true spirituality, true Holy Spirit fervor, a true impartation. How can I help you without the Holy Ghost? How can I encourage you with words of knowledge or words of wisdom or prophecy if I no longer operate in the Spirit but in intellect? We have done a disservice to so many people. Those gifts were given to you so that you could bless people in the church. And when they needed to hear from God and they needed help and they needed encouragement and they needed a word of prophecy and they needed prayers and they needed all of the gifts and all the things that they represent, which is Christ Himself, you would have that answer. The Holy Spirit would awaken you and say, wait a minute, sister, I know you're going through a difficult time. Let me hear from the Lord. Let me stop my busyness and just for a moment listen to what God is saying so that I can give you a word. I had somebody stop me the other day. They said, when you said that I'm here with purpose, when you said to me that I still had a reason to live, it stirred up my heart and I didn't forget it. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. And He wants to flow through you to give hope in these seasons. to other people. Don't hold back the Spirit. Stir the flame.
Fan it. He said, from the laying on of hands at your ordination. I remember being ordained in the assemblies, and I remember that day after all those years of going through the ADSOM courses and all the things that I encountered, and the day come when I'd finally gotten to a place where I was going, they were going to lay hands on you and they were going to anoint you. And I'll never forget that day, because this is the word that they spoke over me as they laid hands on me, and I never forgot it. I began to weep, because it's serious business. I'm going to be accountable for every word that I spoke out of my mouth. I'm going to stand before God and be accountable for your life and for what I taught. This is not a game. This is eternal. I told somebody yesterday, I said, every day I see myself before Christ and I say, Lord, have I done your will? Have I spoken your words faithfully? Have I lived in a way that it didn't bring you reproach? They laid their hands on me at that ordination. From an outward appearance, it just looked like a routine thing that they did to all the people standing there, but it wasn't that way to me. He said, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient, Rebecca, or inconvenient, whether it is welcomed, Rebecca, or whether it's unwelcomed, whether they stay and listen to you preach or they get up and walk out, no matter what the season, you better be faithful, you better preach the word, you better teach the whole counsel of God and not just the things they want to hear. You better stand firm and you better live what you're preaching. And if you don't, you'll be judged for that. It's serious business. Teach the whole counsel of God. Whether it is welcomed or unwelcomed, you as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging, encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate and endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having itching ears for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors that they hold. They will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. But you teach the word. I'm not perfect. I will tell you straight up. When I first became a pastor, I was doing what everybody else told me I should be doing, but no more. I will stand before God and give account for my life. I don't care if one person comes. I don't have to have a full congregation. I don't have to have seats full. I will love you. I will tell you the truth. Have I made mistakes more than I can tell you? Have I failed so many times I've lost count? Have I cried more tears than you will ever know? It's the hardest calling. So difficult and so wonderful all at the same time. Herald the gospel. Preach it. Live it. Teach it. Don't be afraid of people, Timothy. Don't be afraid of death and suffering and loss, because there's greater things to fear than these. A people-pleasing spirit is a detriment to the pulpit. A pastor that lacks love for his people or her people is a detriment. We can't be afraid of the people, but we must love the people. Jesus said this. He said, if I come back and I find my servants beating my people, it's not going to go well for you. You better love them. But you can't be afraid of the people. That if you speak the truth and they walk out and they threaten you, or they say, I'm taking my money and going elsewhere, let it go. Either God sustains you and keeps you, or you need to be out of the pulpit. Can I be that bold? I will. I've begged the Lord that if I misrepresent Him, to remove me. I will remove myself. When you're in a position of leadership, you must live it because everybody's watching your life. You have so much to give, but one wrong turn will cost many. Not just yourself and the integrity of God, but you will lead people down a path and they may never come back to God. He says to him, don't be afraid of the people, or don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid to suffer. Don't be afraid of these things. And he has the right to say it. Paul does, because he's lived it, right? There are greater things to fear than these things, suffering and loss. Many of the New Testament writers and those around the world, they lost their homes. They lost their families. In Nigeria, they'll come into villages and take out the entire village and set their churches on fire. They'll see their mothers and their fathers and their children be killed right in front of them. This is real. They're shutting down the churches in America. It's intentional. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. There's a plot and a plan. They hate God. The spirit of Antichrist hates God. Every country that is a socialist or a communist country hates God. Those churches are underground. And many of their people suffer daily. But they will not renounce their faith. I heard a teacher talk about China. He went there and he was ministering. Their people came from long distances to the underground. They had to secretly meet. They came in droves because they thought that America has all the great teachers. They're on television. They're on radio. They are the greatest of teachers in America. They have so much to teach us. And they gathered and came from miles around to listen to this teacher. He asked them, how far did you come? And they would tell him miles and miles that they came to hear. He asked them, how many of you been in prison? And half of them raised their hands for the cause of Christ. And he was ashamed. How many have suffered because of Jesus? And more raised their hands.
They have something to teach us. That's why we read this, to gain strength in difficult days, so that our faith will not fail and we will stay the course no matter what comes. At the end, he said, "How can I pray for you? How can we pray for you and all the things that you're going through?" He goes, "I'll pray that the suffering will be gone, that you will come into places of freedom." And they said, "Don't do it. It's the suffering that keeps us on our knees seeking God." Maybe we've looked at suffering wrongly lately. Maybe it was meant to bring us to God and not repel us from Him. The greater things to fear are things that many of the apostles had to face with some of their converts. They would deviate from the gospel in the book of Hebrews. "Demas has forsaken me for the love of this present world." We're going to hear that in this teaching. He left Paul alone. In the end, no one was with Paul. All had abandoned him except Christ. There are greater things to fear than loss and suffering and death and difficulty. Lukewarmness is to be feared. He said, "I will spew you out of my mouth if you are lukewarm." Hell is to be feared. And then he goes on to encourage them, "As I have encouraged you, to walk in the Holy Spirit's power. For God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. He didn't call you to be a coward. Often we have failed to look and read further in the book of Revelations. When it gets down to the final chapter, he begins to list people that will not be in heaven. And do you know what they are? Unbelievers and liars and cowards. You say, "Well, what if I were faced with someone saying, 'Renounce Christ or they're going to kill me'? What if I were faced with situations to where I would have to deal with difficulty, or they would take my family, or they would kill my children? What if I have to face days like that? I don't want to go through that. I don't want to live like the apostles lived. I don't want to have to endure that. I don't want to see that. Neither do I. But when the time comes, the grace of God will be there." You can trust the Spirit of God. He never takes you anywhere that He doesn't give you the grace to make it through. He'll give you the ability. If He doesn't take you out of it, He'll give you the strength to endure it. That's why He says, "Be strong in the Spirit, strong in God." Don't blush or be ashamed of His chains. Paul said, "Don't be ashamed of me." Sometimes my daughter Grace will say, "Mom, there ain't nobody like you." I don't know that she always means it in a positive way. She'll say, "Mom, I don't know anybody like you. You're just different than all the people I know." Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You are my chosen people, a peculiar people. To the world, you're misfits and you're out of place and you're outdated. You're strange and you're peculiar. You talk differently. You live differently. You walk differently. You speak differently. Don't be ashamed. You're not like this world. You weren't meant to be. I I've spent my whole life trying to fit into a system that God's trying to get rid of. I want to be like Christ. The godly will inherit the earth. The pure in heart. Those who love Him. I would rather be like Jesus than to be like this world. All the money in the world will not rescue me if I turn and deviate from Christ and end up in the lake of fire. All of the money in the world will not save me when I am in that place of great torment. All the people that loved me here, that wanted me to participate in their evil deeds and do things that ended up hurting me and other people, they won't be saving me in hell. They won't be coming to my rescue. They won't be defending my cause. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ or the marks upon your life from Christ. The difficult things that you've been through. The scar here and the wound here. The attacks here. The kicking when you were down. The misunderstanding of the ways of God and the knowledge of God. And I don't understand why you did this and why you didn't do this. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of your scars. In heaven, they are the very testimonies that He brought you through it. They are the very testimonies that say, "You never abandoned me. Even though I didn't understand, you were with me in my darkest of days. You held my hand in those seasons. You walked me through those trials. When I didn't understand, I just trusted you because you can be trusted." Don't be afraid of suffering. Being in prison, being targeted, having your goods taken away, or even dying for Christ. These are all the things that Paul is imparting to this young Timothy, and he was going to need them, and I'm imparting them to you because they are just as relevant today as they were in this time. Paul said, "He delivered us from all of these things. He'll deliver us again." He saved us before to bring us to God. Jesus bore our sins, my transgressions, my faults, my failures, my wickedness in His sinless body so that I could know the Father and have intimacy with Him and be with Him. He did this not because I deserved it. Not because I'm a good person. But He loved me. No one has ever loved me like that. Not my mama or my daddy. No one. No one died so that I could live and have eternal life but Christ. Out of His love and His mercy, He called, and by faith and belief, we came running. Came running, didn't we? When you know the impending disasters that are coming, when you know what the world is going to go through, and all of those who have turned away from Christ and rejected the message, when you know how severe hell is and how detrimental sin can take you places where you can't recover from the consequences. When you know that, and then you, by grace and faith, come to Jesus, you come a-running. You're the only one that can save me from myself, save me from sin, and save me from my decisions. In fact, God, if you don't save me, I'm not going to make it. And I can't merit eternal salvation, and I can do no good works. And I tell you this today, no one will boast before Christ and say, I'm such a good person. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And every thought that has passed through your mind came before the Lord. And you know as well as I do, not all thoughts are clean. No one will boast of how righteous they are or how good they are or how many works they've done. But I tell you what we lift up. We lift up Christ, Him crucified, Him resurrected, Him the same yesterday, today, and forever. We lift up the blood and say it's because of that blood that I am as white as snow. And now I can stand without condemnation before the Father. And if I sin, and God forbid I sin, but sometimes I do sin, I confess my sins and He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And no good work can do that, only Christ and His blood. Therefore, no man can boast before the Lord, but we boast of Christ. Hold fast, I tell you, to the faith that has been deposited in you. Hold fast your confession of faith in Jesus. He says, hold fast. Don't you quit. Don't you give up, Timothy. And I say this to you and to all of those who are listening and all of those who are hearing this on radio and Facebook. I say this, hold fast to Jesus, because we don't know where this ship is going and how far it's going to go. And you better know your God, and you better rest in Him, and you better have a relationship with Him. Because a man will not save you, only God. God uses people, but we are saved by God through Christ. Hold fast and don't you give up. Keep your relationship strong with the Lord. Hold fast to the teachings, the truth. Don't just take my word for it. Read the word. Listen to the word. When you get in your car, turn on the word. There's so many apps available. There's no excuse for people not knowing the word and going deeper and deeper. You cannot exhaust it. You cannot exhaust the word of God. There's no limit to the knowledge that God will give you to a hungry heart. He will show you His ways. He will bring revelation to you. He will open up your eyes. You will see Him in His creation. You will see Him and hear Him, no matter through what and in what. Read the Word and know the Word. He'll give you dreams and visions. He'll speak to you in songs and poems. He'll give you understanding of His ways, and you'll know Him. Hold fast to Christ and to the true teachings of the apostles, and guard the truth with all of your heart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And if anybody tells you that you're going to make it to heaven any other way, they are lying to you. Because you know the truth, you live the truth. And I love how he finishes this chapter. It's interesting to me that people who opposed Paul are written in the Bible for all time. And those who helped him are written in the Bible for all time. He says there were two men that forsook me in my final hour. Phygellus, and I can't pronounce that second name very well. He says, these two men forsook me
May the Lord grant his mercy, though, to the family of Onesiphorus. For he often showed me kindness and ministered to my needs. He comforted me. He refreshed me like fresh air. He wasn't ashamed of my chains and imprisonment. Rather, when he reached Rome, he searched diligently and eagerly for me and found me. May the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord on the great day. Listen, there is a great day coming when we will all stand before the Lord. A great day where we will see Christ. A great day where we will be rewarded for the works and the things that we did in the Spirit by God. A great day. He mentions Onesiphorus and says, the Lord's going to reward him. The Lord's going to bless him for what he did. Every act of kindness, every word of encouragement, every time you used your gifts and the anointing on your life to help someone, God remembers. Every time you got on your face and prayed for people who couldn't pray for themselves, God remembers. The Lord will reward you on that great day. He doesn't forget. In fact, I believe with all my heart that when you stand before the Lord on that great day, all the acts of kindness that you did through the Spirit will come flashing before your face. And even those things that you have forgotten, God remembers. And he'll reward you. Timothy, people of God, stand firm. Stay steady. Keep your faith strong. Let's stand to our feet this morning. When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the roads you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down quite a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. For life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure runs about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. So don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and a faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to that golden crown. Success is just failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. And when things seem worst, at their worst, do not quit. For he who promised is coming. And he won't be late on the appointed day. Father, we bless you. Father, we love you. We thank you, oh God, for your word, for the encouragement that we have received this morning by the aging Apostle Paul as he spoke to Timothy. And yet now through the seasons of time and through the thousands of years when this word was spoken, here we are receiving again the word from Paul. Don't quit. Don't give up. The lessons we need from Paul to finish our course with faith and to remain faithful to the one who has been faithful to us.
Father, give us the strength and the power of your Spirit again. If our hearts have grown weary and the fire of your Spirit grown dim, fan the flame today. Let the Spirit of God inside of us come to a burning flame. And may we continue to live the life of Christ and to make a difference and finish our course with joy. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, if there is anyone listening to the sound of my voice and they have deviated and walked away from Christ, may they come back at this moment. May they return to Christ. For those that do not know Christ and you're listening to this, you've heard me tell you the truth that He is the only way to have eternal life and to be free from Satan's power. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Come to Him with the sincerity of your heart and He will save you. He is merciful and kind, willing to pardon all of those who turn away from evil and turn to the living God through Christ. Receive Him today. In Jesus' mighty name, may the Lord go with you. And amen.